Time now to look through the window of baseball. We do it for True and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors, and we bring in Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, happy Saturday to you.
Back to you, Marty. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Looking forward to an interesting week of baseball. You know, we got, first of all, the month of June has got a lot of challenges. But a couple with the Cardinals. I want to get your reaction to the Cardinal dilemma there. They don't look the same. But then the Red Sox for a couple, and then the Dodgers next weekend. A good week of baseball.
Yeah, and I'm kind of regretting, not too much, but I'll be in Cleveland all week for the Warriors. But, you know, when the Red Sox and the Dodgers are in town back-to-back, that's something you'd really like to see. So I'll have to just catch it on SportsCenter and hope for the best.
Well, you can listen to our postgame.
This is true.
Yeah, because I'm doing the postgame on Wednesday, and that's Price and Bumgarner. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, that's beautiful. That'll be a real test for the whatever left-hand hitters are in the Giants lineup. His Price is he seems to have found it, and you know that team is just as a whole. I mean, talk about leaving Pablo Sandoval behind. I mean, they've got so many young guys. It's all about youth and energy, and the veterans they have are, you know, Ortiz and Price and Pedroia are great, but you know, these kids, Bradley and Betts. And Bogarts, just that's going to be really cool to have them playing at AT&T.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. All right, your thoughts on Muhammad Ali. Bruce, I know you commented a little bit on Twitter about it, but your thoughts about him?
Well, I mean, I go far back enough to remember his ascent, you know, coming off the Olympic gold medal. And, you know, the young Cassius Clay, he was so brash and boastful. You know, I was among the many people around the country who just resented any kind of, you know, really loudmouth, you know, I'm the greatest kind of athlete in any sport, in any walk of life. But, man, he was so great. I always remember the two fights around the mid-60s when he really became the man that he was, the Ernie Terrell and Cleveland Williams fights. Mm-hmm. You're talking about not just the bravado and the brash, you know, statements and everything, but the talent, the speed, the power, just you really ought to call up these fights out there, the fans of the Ernie Terrell or Cleveland Williams fights, to see the young man at his finest in terms of physical prowess. He went on to become still just as great and much more well known and smarter and everything else, but. Yeah, you know, at around 25 years old, man, forget about it. Greatest we've ever seen.
Yeah, in the first Liston fight, and that was in Miami Beach. And he trained in Miami Beach, as I said on Twitter earlier. I remember him doing his road work in Normandy Shores Golf Course in the morning.
Yeah, I think he was on your pregame show, wasn't he?
What was I doing in 1963? I got to think about it. But it was exciting because he trained at the Fifth Street Gym with Angelo Dundee.
Yeah.
And he would go to the University of Miami football games on Friday night, and he'd say, there's Cassius Clay in the bleachers in the end zone. You know, there he was, and people would be talking to him. And then the Liston fight came up, and, you know, then he started with the poetry, and he knocked him out. I mean, he, you know, Liston couldn't come out for the – well, he got something on his eyes, but – you know, Liston, you always thought was controlled by the mob, as they like to say.
Yeah.
But but that was an you know, Clay was of like a 5-1 underdog, I think, in the fight, and that really said, all right, here he is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Liston threw that fight or not, but I don't think he would have had a chance, even if he was, you know, fighting for his life. I mean, Ali was just too fast, too fast.
And the next one in Lewiston, Maine, I don't think. I don't think anyone ever saw the punch.
Yeah, there were a lot of punches that he threw that were had to be shown in slow motion, and back then there wasn't a whole lot of it.
No. All right, well, a wonderful man, and spoke up in a way, a gentle way, but a firm way, at a time of change when things were happening every day and we didn't know what to make of it.
Well, I would highly recommend a documentary done by a guy named Gil Noble. He did it in 1980, but he had a lot of footage of Ali, you know, at a time when he was resisting the draft, arguing with white students about how he felt about the war.
Mm-hmm.
And it was incredible. I mean, this is a guy, not a well-educated man, who spoke with such force and rhythm and almost poetic, mm-hmm. but with incredible anger and making an awful lot of sense. It was called Ali the Greatest. I think I just actually called it up on YouTube, Gil Noble, Ali the Greatest. Really, really worth your time if you want to see what he was all about back then, with some really rare footage of him being interviewed and some obviously some great fight footage as well.
Oh, great. I'm going to look at that. Bruce
yeah,
Jenkins.
Definitely
with,
do.
Yeah, I definitely will. And one last thought before we leave the subject, probably the most well-known athlete in the world, but Howard Cosell had fun with him. The two of them had a good act going.
Well, yeah, it was great. I mean, they really understood each other, I think, as much as they possibly could. You talk about two different backgrounds, but you know, Cosell loved greatness, and he loved, you know, the very best. He was a talent worshiper, and as acerbic as he could be, and critical of people all along the line, and ticking everybody off with his comments. I mean, you know, in the presence of real greatness, I think that's when Cosell really shined, because he was a wonderfully articulate man. He was very knowledgeable. He knew the history. And that was just a great connection. And even when he criticized Ali, they just got each other, and Ali could ride with that.
Yeah. Did you ever meet either one of them?
I never did. I never was terribly anxious to meet Cosell, but I would have loved to meet. I would have loved to meet the young Cassius Clay in about 65. Yeah. That's when I really wanted to meet.
Yeah. Well, he was something. Well, I have a vision of him at one of the Miami, probably George Myrie was the quarterback. I just have a vision of him being there. Mm-hmm. And then we did meet him in the clubhouse, in the A's clubhouse in the early 2000s when he mm-hmm. still could maneuver a little bit, and he did some magic tricks, and he signed the ball for me, and I mumbled something about Miami Beach like some idiot fan would. And he sort of put up with it and looked at me, and that was it.
I have no idea what I would have said to him. I would have fumbled to get even one word out.
Yeah.
I mean, I was so in awe of the man.
Nice to talk to you about it. All right, let's move to baseball a little bit. How'd you like Cueto last night, Bruce? And he started 12 times. The team's won 11 of them. Can this thing go on with these three guys?
Oh, I think definitely can. I mean, you know, Cueto is pitching through some back trouble, and you can see it sometimes. You can see him struggling with a little bit of discomfort there. He's in St. Louis. He's got some history there. There was a big fight. The Cardinal fans hate him. They were yelling at him, I'm sure. And he just goes out there and shuts the door once again without a lot of support. I mean, geez, the guy, just a treasure. I really don't see it's slowing down. You know, he's not a young guy. I don't know if it's 5 years worth, but I think this year, what you're seeing from him is what you can expect.
Wow, interesting. What do you think of the Cardinals?
Well, they're not quite the same. Geez, the Cubs are just running away with that division. I think the Cardinals are like 11 games out now. You know, they still have a lot of good young players. You know, Piscotty and really all over the diamond. They seem to be fielding a pretty decent lineup. But there's, I don't know. There's something missing there. Maybe a little superstar quality is missing. And, you know, Molina's not as young as he once was. Of course, neither are we. But I don't know. It's hard for me to pin down. I really have a hard time discounting the Cardinals, even in the times that we're looking at right now.
Yeah, the bullpen where Rosenthal was all over the place last night. But defensively, and I was now the shortstop. The kid has got the most errors of anyone in baseball, and I guess that's part of what's going on. But they have 46 errors already in 55 games. They are number one last in the National League in defense. How about that?
Well,
you're not,
the Cardinals,
you're not going anywhere with that.
You go back to Marty Marion or Dal Maxville or Ozzie Smith. The Cardinals have got to have a good shortstop defensively. That just has to happen. And this kid can really hit, but you know, a weak fielding shortstop will kill you, and that's a tough problem for them.
Well, I can't believe you left out the top three. Solly Hemus, Alex Grammas, and Eddie Casco.
I'm kicking myself right now. I really am. Especially Solly Hemus.
Yeah, come on. We had a good Solly Hemus slot there to put him in.
Yeah, this day in Solly Hemus history, I think, should be a feature on the show from now on.
Look, whenever we can work him in, we work him in.
Well, we sure do.
Solly Hemus. Samardzija Cueto and Bumgarner, three, I don't know, Marichal, Perry, and Billy O'Dell. Where do you go with this thing? I'm not sure the Giants have had a better three. Kane, Lincecum, Vogelsong, Kane, Lincecum. Where else could you go with this?
Yeah, it's in there. I remember the year Billy Swift and Burkett each won 20.
Right.
That was a good year. You know, Sanford, Marichal, O'Dell. And, you know, that year they went to the World Series. So, but absolutely, I mean, it's – it's great. I mean, you know, when Bumgarner broke in with Lincecum and Kane, you know, that's probably that might be right at the top. But I just really enjoy watching all these guys pitch. It's not just the results, and I think the fans have got to be right with us there. You know, Bumgarner, obviously the guy. You know, the guy shouts down a hitter, he hits a home run, he wins the game. He stalks off the field with another notch in his belt. You know, Samardzija is just a real competitor, great athlete. Got the hair coming out of his helmet, and if a fight breaks out, he'll be right at the start, at the head of it, and just a tremendous teammate. And you know, then you got Cueto, who's like the second coming of Louis Tion out there. I wasn't surprised when was it Parra who stepped out and they had some words.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't blame him because, I mean, Cueto's all about timing. Pitching is all about throwing the hitter off. And Cueto does that not just with the pitches he throws, but the way that he throws them, the delivery and the timing. And I can see why somebody would be upset with it, but, you know, you gotta get in there and deal with it. And he's a lot like Tiant that way. And I think a lot of young pitchers could study that. Maybe you're not doing all the gyrations, but timing is everything. And as many ways as you can throw off a hitter's timing, the better off you are.
Well, the phrase is hitting is timing, pitching is untiming. that's the way to. All right, so Pence is out, and I've talked about this a lot today. The Giants have a big lead. I don't know. There's no real pressure to do anything, is there?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they'd really like to see Parker and Williamson, you know, really become hitters. I mean, we know they have great power, and they'll hit a 450-foot homer, and everybody will be blown away. But they're not getting, you know, they're not the smart hitters that the team really needs. They're striking out in big situations, and you know, they're young, and they are in a position where they can watch these guys, whichever one of them is up. It's Parker right now. You know, they can ride it out a little bit. They've got something like a 5-game lead now, I think, over the Dodgers. I don't think that's going to evaporate even without Pence. And, you know, if it's looking like a real bad situation with Pence and the Dodgers have closed in at the trading deadline, then you'll look at who's out there. I sent you a tweet the other day about Adam Duvall.
Yes.
Who's a left fielder, an ex-Giant playing for the Reds. He's like tied with Cespedes and Trevor Story for, I think, sixth in Major League homers with 15. They gave him up in the Mike Leake deal. I mean, it's not like you're looking back and going, why didn't we keep him? You got Mike Leake, and he strikes out a lot too. He's a little bit like Parker and Williamson. But no, I think they ride it out and then see how these. It's a great opportunity for Parker, I'll tell you, or Williamson, yeah. and we'll see how it goes.
All right, Bruce, have a great afternoon, and I look forward to talking to you tomorrow. You got a big basketball game tomorrow. How about that?
Yeah, I'll probably be talking to you from the arena, so I'll find a little quiet corner and we can resume.
Very good. Thanks, Bruce. Have a good day.
You bet. Thanks.
All right, that is Bruce Jenkins.